So this is the second part of our homily series on the Mass, where we're going to be reading about, or we're going to be homilizing about the liturgy of the Word. And again, for our visitors, what we're doing is we're using these, we're going to be speaking and homilizing about what we're doing as we're doing it, but when we get to the homily itself, it will be much shorter. Very, very short, so that we basically, you can relax, we'll get out of Mass at the same time. Okay. The first thing is, in the Liturgy of the Word, is that you sat down. Now, you didn't sit down because, oh my goodness, we've just exhausted ourselves with these introductory rites. You know, we're just so tired that we need to plop ourselves down. No, to be seated is to be in an attentive posture. We're in the liturgy of the Word, which means someone's speaking. Who's speaking? God. That's an important thing. You know, we're attentive to His Word, not just to some texts that are being read to us, but this is a conversation that goes back and forth. That God is speaking to us in His Word. And as the Liturgy of the Word, it's structured. It's structured just as salvation history was structured. We're going to be reading from the Old Testament. We're going to be reading from most of the time during the year. We're going to be reading about these great acts of salvation history. Now, we don't do that just to say, okay, well, there was an Old Testament, a New Testament. We got to get these readings in somewhere. To know about the stories of the Old Testament, to know about the history of the Old Testament, to know about God's encounter with His people through this covenant history, is to know how God entered into the universe, is active in time and space, and ultimately is preparing us for Jesus Christ. So ignorance of how God acted in the past, how God acted in these Old Testament covenants, is to be ignorant of Jesus. That's who we came to encounter today. We came to encounter the risen Lord. But we can't understand Him. We can't encounter Him unless we encounter Him in His totality. That God prepared us in millennium to be attentive to the Word made flesh. And so He gives us this Word. How do we know this? Where do we get this from? Do you remember the story of Emmaus? How the disciples were disappointed. They thought that Jesus was the one. And Jesus said, "How slow of heart you are to understand." And then He began to recount to them all the deeds of the patriarchs and prophets, all those of the Old Testament, to see how they all spoke about Him. See, in the Old Testament, we're encountering Jesus. We're encountering His promises. But because God is a living God, because Jesus Christ not just suffered and died, but also rose and ascended into heaven, this is a living Word. And so it means that those events that happened in the past are not just events in the past. They are being made present in us right now. And what God did in the past, He's doing for you right now. That's why we should be attentive. Anybody who's not looking at me right now, look at me. We need to be attentive to God's Word because of what God wants to do in us in this encounter. It's always a call and response, back and forth. So the reader is going to say a reading from the prophet, and then reads the word and then says the word of the Lord. By the way, don't just pass that over. It's God who is speaking to you. It's not this reader that's going to be speaking to you. It's not this lector. In this assembly, right now that we've been gathered by Christ, God Himself is speaking to you. So when you say, thanks be to God, mean it. It's God who is speaking to you. It's not just a text that's being read. God wants to enter into your life and affect you with this event as He prepared us for Jesus right now. And because that conversation needs to start, I invite our first reader to come forward.
A reading from the book of Exodus. The Lord said to Moses, "Go down at once to your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, for they have become depraved." So the Lord relented in the punishment He had threatened to inflict on His people. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Do we have a capricious God? You know, as I said, the event is happening right now. Are we on the knife's edge that God would withdraw His covenant because of our sins, because He sees our sins? No. What the word of God here is, remember, it's connected to Jesus, who stands before the Father, offering Himself for us always. And Moses is praying for his people. He's praying for them in their sins, that God would be merciful. That's what's happening right now, is that we're gathered here praying not just for ourselves, not just for God's mercy on us, but for all God's people. We're standing in the place of Moses as the body of Christ. So the event that happened just there is happening right now in us, in our assembly. Now we're called to be a response. We said, thanks be to God, but remember this liturgy is structured so it's all a call and response. So God has spoken, God's word. He did something. Now how do we respond? Well, we had a reader speak to us God's word, but now it's time for the whole assembly to respond to God's word. We have the responsorial psalm. It's the responsorial psalm for two reasons. One, we're going to be having a response to scripture that is spoken to us in the psalm by the choir. It's going to be here, and we're going to be responding back and forth. But it's also a response to what we have just heard. And if you listen to the responsorial psalm, if you listen to that response, it often is the theme of the entire liturgy. And so, you know, many times I hope and wish that if you don't remember anything from the homily, take the responsorial psalm back with you and just sing that response to how God's acting in your life throughout the week. And after our response, we're going to have another word, right? We're going to have the second reading. So I'll talk to you about the second reading in a second. But now we need to make our response to the word that we've just heard.
I will arise and go to my God.
I will arise and go to my God.
So God Himself has given us the words to respond to Him. That's what the responsorial psalm, that's what the psalms are. They're the church's prayer book. That if you don't know how to speak to God, God in His Spirit has given us those words to speak to us in the responsorial psalm. And now God wants to speak to us again. And remember, we enter into salvation history. And so the event of Jesus didn't just happen 2,000 years ago. It continues in the life of the church. And so we have the second reading, which is from the epistles, often from the epistle of Paul, the epistles of Paul, but also those Catholic epistles, also the book of Revelation, also the book of Hebrews, all of the New Testament, which is, how does this church continue to encounter the living God, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ? How do they continue to live it out? And so we have these this second reading, which is an extension of how the church is gathered, how the church is formed, and it's happening to us right now.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to Timothy. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is not always chosen to go with the gospel or the first reading. But at the heart of the second reading today is, in fact, the very theme that the first reading and the gospel will pick up, which is that Christ came to save sinners. When we read the gospel, this is an encounter with Jesus. We read it differently. Remember, we're gonna stand in a few moments, and that's because we realize and we're saying with our body, we believe that Christ is present in His Word. We're going to, any of the symbols or signs as I bow to the Word of God, as we place this book of the gospel on the altar face down, because it is, we're to be fed from this table and from this table. That's the reason the book of the gospels is always put on the altar before Mass, as Mass begins, and then it's processed to be proclaimed. Because in that proclamation is the encounter. This is what we do as church, is we're encountering Jesus Christ who's speaking to us. And no, it doesn't matter, although we get parts of the gospel at all sorts of different times, there's a heart to every single one of the gospels. To Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the heart is this, that Jesus came so that we might be saved through His death, resurrection, and ascension into heaven. Every other gospel really needs to be read through that lens. Because what does it mean that Jesus died? Yes, it means that He poured Himself out. He became sin for us. What does it mean that He rose? It means that it wasn't just a death. It wasn't, you know, Jesus who had a remarkable life and a bad end. It meant that God vindicated Him. What does His ascension mean for us? It means that God, in His victory, in being in heaven, can be anywhere He wants to do, continue to do what He did for us. He stands before the Father, constantly pouring Himself out. When you die, you can't pour yourself out anymore, right? It's only by the resurrection that He is a living presence in God, before God the Father, saying, save your people. And He's doing that right now. He's saving from our sins as He's present in here, as we proclaim the Word. And as we'll have this call and response, a reading from the Holy Gospel, the Lord be with you and with your spirit. And you remember what that's about, which is that we're saying to one another, may God's Spirit, may the Holy Spirit be upon you, and you be this priest for us and with your spirit. And then we'll read the scripture. And what's happening is here is that living presence of Christ is now in our midst. If you want to say to somebody, I don't see the resurrection. I don't see where God is. He's right here. This is what's happening at Mass. This is what only can happen at Mass, is that the living presence of the resurrected the Lord is precisely in this proclamation. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can't help ourselves. Even if you don't want to listen to me, somehow that word is speaking in. Somehow that word is transforming you, maybe little bit by little bit. But that's what happens at Mass, is that we're transformed into the body and blood of Jesus Christ. His active presence is among us. And it can only happen here in the proclamation. Now, this is just the proclamation of the word. Wait till next week when we talk about what else He does. Because it goes deeper and deeper from there. We're going to be singing Alleluia. Not in Lent. We don't sing Alleluia in Lent. Why don't we sing Alleluia in Lent? Because we want to remember that Easter is special. But every Sunday is Easter. So even though we don't do it in Lent, we do it every other Sunday of the year. We stand that to remember the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is, so every Sunday is a little Easter to remember that. And so we're now time to proclaim our gospel.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
Alleluia, alleluia,
alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus.
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today I read the shorter version of this gospel because it's connected. These two lost and found things are connected to a third parable, which is the parable of the lost son, the prodigal son. And so in this parable, I just want to mention something about each of these three stories, which is what is happening in here? Why is it so amazing that God suffered and died for us and rose again and is in heaven? Because we're like the lost coin. We're like the lost sheep. We're like the lost son. In comparison to God, you know, what happens to sheep in the desert, in the wilderness? They tend to get lost. It happens all the time. And so the one thing you would never do is leave 99 in the desert and go after the one. You would, if you were thinking prudently like us, you would write off the one and you'd stay with the 99. But yet, not only does the parable show God going after the one that is lost, the ones on the side, that he gives everything for that one, but he also has this enormous party. You don't have a party for a lost sheep. It happens every day if you're a shepherd. But there's this outsized joy. Last night, when I was doing my wash, I pulled out my clothes, and all of a sudden I saw some shiny things in the washer and I pulled out a penny and a nickel. I did not call you all to have a party last night. But that's the experience of the woman. The woman is these small coins that she literally turns her house upside down. You have to realize that the floor of a first century house was probably covered with straw. And so what was happening when she cleaned her house is literally you could see straw flying out the windows and then saying to her neighbors, you know, come, I found this coin. Come, let's stay away from the nice lady. Jesus came so that he might find the lost and restore them. Jesus came so that the Father in joy might say, this child of mine was dead and is now alive. Jesus is standing before the Father, always before the Father, in his death and resurrection, and says, save them. Save them by my death and resurrection and ascension. And that's what he's doing in here. That's what's happening to us right now. That's why the responsorial psalm is so important. By the way, we have to do our part. Our part is to be like the prodigal son. He came to his right mind. He didn't have to have it all together, but there was a change. There was a turning back. The Greek word, there was a metanoia, a turning back to God. I will go to my Father's house. That's what we do when we come to Mass. In all of our sin, God doesn't care. But God wants us to repent, to change our lives, to change our actions, and he will give us the strength that we need in this Mass to do it. I will go to my Father's house, and the Father will give us much more than a robe on our back or a ring on our finger. He gives us his very body and blood. We stand once more, and we're going to be standing again in prayer. We've been having the Liturgy of the Word. And the Liturgy of the Word is how God has acted in time and space, and he unites us with it. If we understood every word of Scripture from the Old Testament to the New Testament, it could be summarized by the act of faith. Our response is, this is what we believe. We've internalized the faith. This is what we believe about Father, Son, and Spirit by how you've revealed yourself to me. And so we pray, I believe in one God,